Okay, today we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Hey Amid Beis. We are holding on the very top of Daf Hey Amid Beis, the second line, Tanur Rabbanan. We were talking about marking off graves so that people will know that there's Tumah there. Tanur Rabbanan, the Brayso teaches us, Ein Mitzayim Lo Al Kazayis Min Ameis. You don't have to mark off if it's just a Kazayis of flesh from a dead body that's buried somewhere. It's not the whole body, it's just a Kazayis of flesh from the body. V'lo Al Etzim Kesorah. If it's a tiny piece of bone the size of a barley, you don't have to mark that off either. And anything that wouldn't be metame someone ba'ohel. Be metame ba'ohel means that would make someone tame just by being in the same room as it, or by walking over the area where it's buried. Anything that would not have that kind of tumah, that would not transmit that kind of tumah, you don't have to mark off. But you do have to mark off wherever the spine is buried or where the skull is buried. For the majority of the skeleton, either structurally or the majority in terms of the number of bones of the skeleton, hames of the dead body are buried there. You do have to mark that off. You don't have to mark off place that everybody knows is tame, but you do have to mark off places that is a suffix that people don't know is tame. What are places that people aren't sure about? Schachos, upraos, ubesapras. The Gemara later on is going to explain each one of those things. Schachos and praos refer to ledges or branches that stick out, that walking under them you might become tame if there's a dead body also under it somewhere else. And Beis HaPras will describe in more detail later on. So the Gemara says the Ein Ma'amid and Sin B'Makom Tuma. We don't have to mark a grave marker in a place on the tuma itself, directly above where the body is buried. Shalala Hafsadis Taros, because if you only mark it there, it's going to be too late. The guy's going to be walking along carrying his truma, and he's going to go, oh wait, why did the ground all of a sudden get hard? Oh, it looks like it's marked here, but by then it's too late. He's already standing right over the grave. So you can't do it right over the grave. You've got to give a little warning. But you also can't put it too far away from where the dead body is. Because wherever you put that marker, people are going to assume that everywhere around it is tame, that wherever you go, that anywhere past that marker is tame. So if you leave it too far away from the dead body, you're going to end up taking large swaths of Eretz Yisrael and declaring them tame, which is not good. We don't want to make Eretz Yisrael tame. So you put it at a reasonable distance away from the dead body. Main point number one, marking a grave is done where people, marking a grave is done for things that are metame ba'ohel, where people don't know about the tuma, not directly above the tuma, but not too far from it. So again, marking a grave is done for things that are metame ba'ohel, where people don't know about the tuma, meaning it's not vada, it's not certain, not directly above the tuma, but also not too far from the tuma. So we said that a kazayis min ameis is not metame ba'oel, and therefore you don't have to mark when there's a kazayis of a dead body buried somewhere. Is that true though? It's ain't no metame ba'oel. Vatanan, we have a mishnah, elu metame shem metame ba'oel. The following things are metame ba'oel. Kazayis min ameis, and the first thing on the list of things that are metame ba'oel is a kazayis of a dead body. Rav Papa answers, hacha b'kazayis metzumtzum askinun. Over here we're talking about when we say it's not metame ba'oel, exactly a kazayis of a dead body. Because if it's exactly a kazayis, ultimately it's going to shrivel up a little bit and it's going to be less than a kazayis. So even though for the next day or two until it shrivels up, it's going to be a kazayis, mutav yisrael of truma kachim lefisha, we'd rather you have to burn truma and kachim that become tame from it for a momentary thing, you know, in the next few hours or the next day or so when it's still going to be a kazayis, rather than forever and ever declare that place to be tame, val yisrael of the olam, not have to burn something there forever. We shouldn't have to declare that place as tame forever, where any truma that goes there is going to be tame, when in reality, after a day or two, it's going to be less than a kazayis anyway. It's not going to be metame anything. So main point number two, we don't mark a place that has exactly a kazayis buried there, because it's only a short time before it shrinks and shrivels and won't be metame anyway. Further, the Brisa said, the cases of suffix tuma are schachos, praos, and besapras. What are these things? Schachos ilana mesach ala aret. Schachos are branches of a tree that lean over the ground and form an ohel, it forms a tent over the ground, so you can walk under the tree, and there might be a dead body under that tree as well, and then you'll become tame. Praos are avanim praos yitzus min agader. They're stones that jut out from a fence, so it's like a canopy that sticks out, an awning. Besapras, what's a besapras? place a pras kedetan hachoresh as a kever. If you have a grave and someone plows the field with the grave, so they dig up the whole field and everything, all the dirt gets thrown around. So probably the bones get thrown around also. Harehu osa beis hapras. That entire area becomes a beis hapras where there might be tuma. Vekamahu osa. How large of an area around where the grave was becomes a beis hapras. Mlamana mea ama. A 100 ama area around where the grave was becomes a beis hapras. Says the Gemara, but wait a second. O beis hapras mimetame ba'awel. Does a beis hapras make a person who walks over it tame or flies over it tame? Does beis hapras have the ability to be mitame ba'awel? It's one thing if you touch the beis hapras, but by walking over the beis hapras, does it make you tame? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel teach us that if you want to walk through beis hapras and remain tar, all you got to do is blow the surface layer of dirt and see that there are no bones on the surface, and you can walk right through it. So apparently, it's not metame ba'oel. You just have to make sure you don't touch any bones as you walk through it. Rabbi Yehuda Barami Meshmedu Ula Amar beis hapras shenidash tar. That if a lot of people have trampled on that beis hapras, have walked over it, it's tar. Apparently the reason it's tar when a lot of people walk over it is because the only concern is that there are bones on the surface, but when a lot of people step on it, the bones will be moved around, it will be buried further underground. So apparently the beis hapras is not metame ba'ohel. So why are we saying we're going to mark a beis hapras if we're only marking things that are metame ba'ohel? Amra papa lo kasha. Rav Papa says, no, we have to realize there are two types of areas that we will call a beis hapras. Obviously beis hapras is a very important concept, and it really means two different things. There's kan besada she'avad ba'kever, kan besada she'nechrash ba'kever. One beis hapras is a field where you know that a body is buried there, you just have no idea where. So the entire area has a din of safek tuma. The whole area is an area where there might be tuma in any given spot because there is a full body buried somewhere there. That's one definition of beis hapras. The other definition of beis hapras is you knew exactly where the body was buried, but then the whole field was plowed up, so wherever the body was, it scattered throughout the entire area. V'sad shavad ba'kever beis hapras karilei. Ask the Gemara, wait a second. When you lose a kever in a field, is that called the beis hapras? The Gemara says, absolutely it's called the beis hapras. But tanan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Ha'alos, shlosha beis hapraseh, that there are three types of beis hapras, where someone who eats truma, who wants to stay tar, is not allowed to go there. Sada shenevad ba'kever, a field that a kever was lost in. V'sada shenechrash ba'kever, a field that was plowed, that a kever was plowed in. And now a third type that we mentioned is stay bochin, which we'll discuss momentarily. But main point number, whatever we're up to, there are two types of beis hapras. I should say three types. But one is, if the kever was plowed, it's not metame ba'oel, and can be traversed by blowing away the surface dirt. So again, number one is, if the kever was plowed, so it's not metame ba'oel, and you could traverse the beis hapras, you could walk through the beis hapras, by blowing away the surface dirt. The second type is, if the kever was lost, then it is metame ba'oel. The beis hapras is metame ba'oel. Ask the Gemara, what's this third type? My stay bochin. What is a stay bochin? Very often, the body will be moved from the city where he died to the city where he's going to be buried. So they hand off, somewhere in the middle between the two cities, they hand off the body from one Chevra Kadisha to the other Chevra Kadisha. And it's called stay bochin. But why should that whole area be tame? So it happens to be a place where they do the handoffs of the dead body. Why would that make the whole area tame? They're actually handing it off and then moving the dead body to the other city. It's not staying there. The reason it'll become tame is because there might be a limb that falls, and each Chevra Kadisha is assuming the other one is going to take care of that limb. So there might be a lot of limbs, severed limbs from dead bodies that might be around in that area. But wait a second. We said that a kever was plowed in, since it's not metame ba'oel, doesn't need to be marked. Is that so? Vatani, we have a brisa matzah sada mitzuyenis. If you find a marked field, ve'in yadua mativa, and you don't know anything about that field, yeshva ilonos biyadua shenechrosh bakever. If there happen to be trees in the field, you can rest assured that that must have been a place where a grave was plowed up there. Ein ba ilonos, if there are no trees there, biyadua she'avad bakever. You can assume that it was a place where a kever was lost, not plowed. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad sheyesham zakin utam lefi shena kol bekin v'davar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Now, you can't assume anything. Try to find someone who actually knows. Find an older person, find a Talmud Chacham, ask them what the story with that field is, if you find a marked field. But bottom line is, you see that if it has trees, you assume that it was plowed, and that's a good enough reason for it to be marked. Apparently, a plowed, a field that had a kever that was plowed is a good enough reason to mark the field. Against what we said before. We said before that such a field is not Metame Ba'awel. Rav Papa explains, Ki Tanya Hi Besod HaShavet Ba'kever. No, it's talking about a field where a kever was lost, Zitzinuha, where they then marked it, and then Yesh Ba'ilanus, if you find that there are also trees there, B'yodua Shenechrash Ba'kever, you can rest assured that in addition to that kever having been lost, if there are trees there, they must have been plowed also. The area must have been plowed as well. But if there are no trees there, then it's just that the kever was lost there, but it was never also plowed. And then you're not allowed to go through it, even if you blow the surface dirt or whatever, because it was never plowed. It was just a kever that was lost there. But if there are trees there, after the kever was lost, you can rest assured it was plowed, and therefore you're allowed to walk through the area if you just blow away the surface dirt, because the whatever kever was there was already plowed up. Says Gemara, but v'leichos dilma ilanos migavai v'kever mibrai. Why do you assume that the kever was plowed up just because there are trees there? Maybe the trees are on the inner area and the kever's in the outer area, not right next to the trees. So maybe the trees were, there was plowing done for the trees, for the sake of the trees, but maybe that plowing never touched the area of the kever. Kedamarula notes, like Ula said, just like Ula explained to answer some other kasha, that the trees that he was talking about are on the border of a field, the trees that we're talking about also are trees that are on the border of a field. Says Gemara, yeah, but still, maybe the tree, the tumma's on the inside, and the trees are on the outside. Says Gemara, b'misubachin. Now the trees are scattered throughout the entire field, and that's how you know that the whole field must have been plowed. Or it could be that you could just tell from where the marker is that the trees are not far away from where the kever was, because you're not allowed to put the marker far away from the kever, because we don't want to lose parts of Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to be metame broad pieces of Eretz Yisrael. So that's how you know that the kever must have been in a place where we had plowed anyway for the sake of the trees. So the final main point, when there are trees scattered in a marked field, we can assume it was plowed over after the kever was lost. We can assume that field was plowed over after the kever was lost, which by the way means that you're allowed to walk through that field as long as you blow away the surface dirt and don't see any bones. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Rabbi Yehuda Omer to analyze Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of asking a Talmud Chacham or a Zaken what the story is with that field.